This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right. Yesterday we led off talking about Tiger Woods. We're going to do the same thing today, right? Tiger Woods might be truly back. All right. So we're going to talk about Tiger for a bit. We're going to fit in the March Madness games that have gone on so far today in this first segment too. So that's how the first segment's going to go, as if you just listened. All right, second segment is what we're doing. We're going over yesterday's NBA games, which was Wednesday's, but a couple of good ones. We had the Kings knock off the Heat yesterday in a close game in overtime. I was watching that one. And who else played yesterday? Can't remember exactly. Oh, yeah, Warriors knocked off the Lakers. Celtics lost to the Wizards. That was also a great game there. And then you got the Magic, who, of course, I'm talking bad about them one day because they only scored 72. Next day, they come out and they beat the Bucks. So we'll be talking about those games there. Third segment, we're going to be talking about the Oakland Raiders. What do they got going on right now? They're signing Jordy Nelson, cut Michael Crabtree, signed Doug Martin. So I'm going to give my thoughts on everything there. And then we're going to be talking a bit about the Miami Dolphins. Turns out, because everyone's been telling like this, like what they've been doing is confusing. Are they trying to rebuild? Are they trying to win now? And I think the biggest, like the most confusing part about what they're doing is that they're actually making sense with their moves. Like usually Miami is just pretty much running in any certain direction, not really knowing what's going on. But nonetheless, here they are. And it looks like they're starting to make some smart moves, starting to learn from their past mistakes. So we'll be doing that, talking about anything else going on in the world of sports and making my picks for tonight's games as we always do. All right. So that's how it's going to go. And it's going to be a fun one. So let's start off talking about Tiger. Tiger Woods, obviously, is great for the game of golf. All right, today, it was like the first round of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. All right, finished the day at -4, 3 strokes off the lead right now. Let me see if I can find out who's currently in the net. Or actually, Henrik Stenson. I think his name is Henrik. If it's Henrik Stenson, that's pretty good. You got Rory McIlroy in second. And yeah, Tiger right there tied for fourth. So he's 3 strokes off the lead right now. Henrik Stenson's still going. Got 5 more holes left. All right. McIlroy's still got 6 more left. So pretty much Tiger's just going to be behind those two guys as the and Walker as the day goes on. So Tiger Woods, -4. Last week played well. Finished in second, I believe. Went up to the 18th hole in the last tournament. Had a chance to tie it up. Forced a playoff, I believe. And just couldn't get it done. But nonetheless, that's not a problem. Tiger Woods, I think that was what? His second tournament back? Third tournament? So now here he is playing well on the first day of the tournament here. Okay, so I got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Still got to play well for 3 more days. But nonetheless, Tiger Woods, like I said, going back to what I stated earlier, he's good for golf. He's good for sports as it is. All right, he's got people like me interested where I'm not a golf fan by any means. All right, now I don't know if I could say like I'm not a hardcore golf fan. I wouldn't even consider myself a casual golf fan. All right, but Tiger Woods has something about him to where when he's out there and he's playing well, you want to watch and you want to follow. All right, and that's pretty much what's going on right now, okay? Tiger Woods is getting everyone to the point where, you know what, we're not really golf fans, but it's Tiger Woods, all right? He's got this little R, like is it Aura, A-U-O-R-A, I think that's how you spell it. All right, he's got that little type of thing about him where you just follow and you're intrigued by what's going on. All right, and that's exactly what we got going on here, and he's playing well. And one thing too, I mean, even like saying Tiger's back, obviously we're saying that, but because of the fact that Vegas has Tiger favored as the favorite in the Masters. All right, Tiger Woods has only played like 3 tournaments so far this year. All right, I think this is like his 3rd or his 4th. Either way, he's the favorite to win the Masters. Vegas, Tiger Woods might not like actually like to the actual golf fan unless Tiger like truly is back. Maybe it's just this Vegas saying, you know, we're going to have a bunch of people putting money on Tiger, so let's just make him the favorite. Maybe that's all it is right there. But Tiger Woods being the favorite for the Masters means that Masters should be pretty good. Tiger might actually have a chance. Tiger might actually be back since Vegas is putting him as the favorite. And the ratings for the Masters are going to go well. All right. And they are. I'm going to tune into the Masters. I will watch. I'm not going to watch it religiously or anything like that. I'm not going to be watching every hole. But if Tiger's out there and I'm switching through the channel and he's playing, golfing right there, I'm going to watch for a bit. All right. And that's just how it is. Again, I'm no big golf fan by any means. But Tiger gets the ratings going. And it's kind of good and bad for golf, okay? Because Tiger's, what, 42, 43 years old right now? I mean, once he officially done, where does golf go, all right? I feel like once Tiger started getting injured and hurt all the time and wasn't really out there and wasn't really playing well, no one was really paying attention, all right? But now that Tiger's back, and that's one thing too. With Tiger being back, it's not just the fact that he's out here playing well. It's the fact that he's probably the first time in a half decade the dude has been healthy playing golf. All right. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, if you've listened to the few times I've talked about golf, mainly about Tiger, but if you listen to those few times, I've always said that Tiger is not going to go out and win a major or anything like that. And now I'm starting to move off of that whole stance. All right. Tiger, one thing I didn't realize the last few years and didn't really think of too much is the fact that, yeah, the guy was hurt constantly. All right, you're not going to be able to win when you're hurt. It's going to affect your swing and going to affect everything else. All right, and now that Tiger seems to be fully healthy, and that's one thing that he probably should have done a long time ago, is just take a huge amount of time and just literally get 100% healthy. All right? I feel like the last few times in the last few years, Tiger's came back. I feel like he's rushed it. All right, came back, still feeling some discomfort, but now it looks like he's 100%, not feeling any problems. Swing's getting better and all that. So now you got Tiger. This is why Tiger's the favorite to win the Masters. This is why Tiger's playing good in all these rounds, and this is why people are starting to watch golf again. It's not just Tiger Woods is out here playing golf. It's Tiger Woods might actually win something. All right, and one of my favorite stories about Tiger is from back then. All right. When Tiger was like dominant and stuff like that, and used to be pretty much, you'd see golfers saying, yeah, when Tiger walked into the clubhouse or whatever they call it, I doubt they call it a golf locker room, I think they call it a clubhouse or whatever. When you used to walk in there, you were intimidated. You knew, like, oh, Tiger's here, we ain't got no shot. I'm not sure if it'll ever get back to that because, you know, this is a new generation of golfers, all right? This is all new guys and stuff like that. You don't have, like, the Phil Mickelsons in their primes or anything like that back then, all right? But now, pretty much, if Tiger were able to get back to that whole, oh, Tiger's here, we're intimidated, that would be huge for golf, all right? Tiger goes out and wins the Masters. It's probably going to be the biggest year for golf since, I don't know, a long time, all right? But either way, yeah, Tiger goes out and wins a major this year. Golf is going to be back on the map, all right? ESPN's going to cover like it's nobody's business, all right? Maybe you won't see cover more than they cover LeVar Ball. So Tiger right now, like I said, good for golf, playing well, -4, 3 strokes off the lead right now. You got Henrik Stenson in first with -7, Rory McIlroy 13 holes in. And again, at the time we're recording this podcast, by the time this is all out, it should be the first round should be over. But either way, Rory McIlroy -5, 2 strokes off the lead, 13 holes in. All right, Tiger's playing well. But either way, good for golf. It's got me talking about it. How often can you say that I lead off with a Tiger segment in the first part of the show and talk this long about it? Not too often. But either way, like I said, Tiger's playing well this weekend, and he's close to pretty much near the lead on Sunday. I'll be tuning in, maybe even on Saturday. All right. Again, all depends on how work's got me doing. But either way, I'm going to be tuning in because Tiger just gets ratings. Okay. It's good for golf. It's good for everyone. It's good for the golf is there. All right, now you're going to see more eyes on him. Maybe Tiger being out there is going to pretty much bring more interest to it. So we'll see how it all ends up. But like I said, good for golf. They're going to be making a whole lot more money. Ratings are going to go up, and ESPN's going to be covering a bunch of it. So there's that. Wanted to talk briefly about Tiger. And today is the, I don't want to say true start of March Madness, all right, because we did have the play-in games yesterday and the day before. Syracuse won. I think Radford won. Who else? St. Bonaventure won, beat UCLA. That might be my sleeper team throughout the tournament, the team that's going to go out and upset a bunch of teams. That might be it right there. All right, it's Adrian Wojnarowski's team, Woj bomb guy from ESPN. But either way, I mean, we've already had upsets today. Look at I said, why are we putting Oklahoma in the tournament? They're not that good. And Rhode Island said, yeah, you're right, they're not. All right, I don't even know if you could call it an upset. Rhode Island beat Oklahoma 83-78 in overtime. All right, Trae Young had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. But, I mean, Oklahoma was a 10 seed, 18 and 14. Rhode Island was a 7 seed, 26 and 7. And I mean, this is it right here. The only reason why the committee put Oklahoma in was to get ratings, expecting that Trae Young was going to make a run, Oklahoma was going to make a run and all that. You don't even get to talk about Trae Young. He's old news now. Now it's on to the draft. Trae Young's gone. What's the story? That's one thing, too. What is the story that the NCAA or these media outlets could push now? Because it's not Trae Young, all right? Maybe it's Arizona, the whole little Sean Miller thing they got going on, but even that seems like something that ESPN just completely botched right there as far as the story goes when they reported it. Remember, they had me talking about it. Had me talking about how Sean Miller talked to an agent saying to give DeAndre Ayton $100,000 so he'd come play for them and not Kansas. Turns out that might not be all the way true. All right, so you got that. Oklahoma's out. You could have very well put a USC, a Notre Dame, or literally any other team in. Oklahoma lost 8 out of their last 10, and now, I mean, it's useless. Like I said, at least a team more deserving could have had a chance to knock off a team like Rhode Island or even move down. But now since you get through in Oklahoma in there because you wanted ratings for Trae Young and all that, now it's not even working out. So there's that happened today. Gonzaga knocked off UNC Greensboro 68-64. Right? Gonzaga was tied 64-64 with 30 seconds left. One of the freshmen hits the go-ahead three, and sure enough, finishes off 68-64 there. Kansas knocked off Penn. Knocked him off 76-60. Penn was playing pretty well. And for those that know Penn, it's Pennsylvania. But they were playing pretty well. Had it close for a little bit in the first half. Second half comes. Kansas just rides off into the sunset and plays well. Let's see what else we got going on. Right now we got Ohio State playing South Dakota State. Ohio State's up by 5 in the first half. Loyola Chicago is playing Miami right now. Miami's up 37-32. And again, this is all at the time we're recording the podcast. All these games should be over by the time it's out there for you guys. Duke. I don't know, people were making jokes saying how they get knocked off by Iona. Not going to happen tonight. All right, Duke's winning 70-45 in the second half. Let's see, what other games we got going on today? We got NC State, Seton Hall starting off right now. Seton Hall's only up 4-3 right now, so it's just the beginning of it. Seton Hall, that's a team right there, too. Those Big East teams always show up in the tournament, always knock off a couple of teams. So Seton Hall, I'm sure they're going to beat NC State. You got teams like Creighton who are going to win. I think, does Butler play in? No, Butler didn't play in the Big East. Butler should play in the Big East. They seem like a Big East team. Later on, we got Villanova versus Radford. We got Kentucky versus Davidson. That's going to be a bit of a fun one, but I'm sure Kentucky's going to pull off the win there. Houston versus San Diego State. San Diego State usually plays well, always got a good team. Stephen F. Austin versus Texas Tech. Maybe Stephen Austin pulls up an upset like they did, was it last year or the year before that, where they went on that little run? Alabama versus Virginia Tech. Avery Johnson brought that program up, the Alabama program up, had them playing well. I mean, Alabama, I couldn't have told me that they had a basketball program before Avery Johnson got there. You got Arizona playing tonight. That's my prediction for the winner of this tournament. Arizona, right? DeAndre Ayton is a grown man. You see how the guy looks like he's a 30-year-old playing basketball against these young kids. The dude is dominant. I think he's pretty much just like that's why I think Arizona's gonna win. You're just gonna have DeAndre Ayton just be the story of the tournament. That's where the story is right there. DeAndre Ayton, the guy's just gonna bully everyone. I think they got another 7-footer on that team. They play with two centers basically, and they can't be stopped. So that's gonna be a fun one there. Like I said, I think Arizona's gonna go on a nice little run and win the tournament. You got Michigan versus Montana tonight. I got Michigan upsetting North Carolina. I think is in the next round of my bracket. Can't remember exactly, but nonetheless, Michigan always plays well. Probably one of the best teams in the Big Ten this season. I think Michigan, did they win the tournament this year in the Big Ten? I think they might have. Can't remember exactly, but I know they did play well. Then you got St. Bonaventure versus Florida. I got the upset St. Bonaventure over Florida. Even I made my bracket before they played UCLA too. Florida, I just don't think would have beat either team. So we'll see how it all ends up. But those are the games going on today. March Madness, greatest time of the year usually. I mean, we always say that. I mean, when baseball MLB playoffs come up, we say that's the best time of the year. When the NFL playoffs are on, we say that's the best team of the year. When the NBA finals are on, we say that's the best time of the year. We change our minds a lot as sports fans. But either way, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking some NBA. Later on, we'll be talking Raiders. Fourth segment, we'll be talking anything else going on in sports and talking Miami Dolphins. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Tiger Woods and March Madness. Alright, like I said in the first segment, man, Tiger Woods at a minus four right now, I believe he's still three strokes off the lead against Henrik Stenson. Again, this is all going to be done by the time the podcast is out for you guys to listen to. But he's playing well. It's good for golf. Vegas has him as the favorite to win the Masters. That's huge right there, too. And one of the biggest differences with Tiger now than the other times, I guess, he quote-unquote was back or came back. All right, he's healthy. He's not hurt. He has no lingering knee injuries, back injuries, anything like that. It's looking like he's got a little clean bill of health here, 100%. So if Tiger's 100%, it's not like the guy ever forgets how to golf. All right, we all know Tiger Woods had the talent, just the dude got hit by injuries, injury after injury after injury. So if he's good, Tiger Woods very well could win a major. All right, I've been on the team of no, he's not, but I figured Tiger Woods, if he's 100%, why not? So we'll see. Either way, though, good for golf. Talked about March Madness. Oklahoma got knocked off by Rhode Island. Good job, committee. Way to put him in. Just a waste of a spot there. Could have been put in a more deserving team like a Notre Dame, USC, or even a St. Mary's team. I mean, I don't get how you put a team that lost 8 out of its last 10, was 18-13 going into the tournament, I believe. I don't get how you do that. But either way, they did, and shows it. I mean, Oklahoma got knocked off by Rhode Island. Rhode Island was the higher seed, too. So, I mean, it's not really even an upset there. It's just a wasted spot, I guess, by the committee. Now, you got to hope that, like I said, DeAndre Ayton, I think he's going to be the story of the tournament. Hopefully, I'm right. Makes me a whole lot smarter than the committee there if he is. So, we'll see. But anyways, for this segment, we're going to be talking NBA games from Wednesday. All right, I've been getting my days mixed up all week. But either way, yesterday was Wednesday, so we're going to talk about the games from then. First up, we had the Washington Wizards heading into Boston, facing off with the team that plays in Boston, the Celtics. All right, Wizards won this one 125-124 in double overtime. For the Wizards, you had Markieff Morris with 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 6 of 15, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Otto Porter had 18 points, 11 rebounds, shot 5 of 12, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Bradley Beal went off for a big game here, 34 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 14 of 27, 3 of 10 from the 3-point line. Wizards really need John Wall back, not because of the fact that he's a great player, but because of the fact that Wizards have no one to pretty much hit the clutch time shot at the end. I mean, we'll talk about it after I'm getting done doing the stats. We had Tomas Satoransky with 10 points, 6 assists, shot 4 of 8. Off the bench, you had Mahimi with 14 points, 11 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting. Jody Meeks, still in the league, 8 points, 3 of 7 shooting there. Mike Scott had 9 points. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 8 points, 3 rebounds in that one. For the Celtics, all right, no Kyrie Irving, no Al Horford, no Marcus Smart, no Jaylen Brown. All right, so you had a starting five of Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Gershon Yabusele, and Aaron Baines. How did that work out? I mean, they only lost by one in double overtime. Marcus Morris had 31 points, 9 rebounds, 11 of 22 from the field, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. That's a season high in points for him. Dude has been a beast for that Celtics team this season. Yabusele, in his start, it had 18 minutes, only shot, had 2 shots, 1 made, and 4 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Jason Tatum, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, shot 9 of 23 there. No threes in this one for him. You had Aaron Baines with 7 points, 5 rebounds. Terry Rozier, 21 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 8 of 21, 4 of 9 from the 3-point line. Semi Ojeleye had 5 points in this one off the bench. You had Abdel Nader with 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 24 minutes played. Let's see, Greg Monroe, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 8 of 9 shooting in this one. Shane Larkin was big for the Celtics in this game, 11 points, 4 assists, 4 of 8 shooting. And I think he had a couple of steals too, so that's how it pretty much turned out as far as the stats go. I mean, Celtics choked on this one. They choked it away twice, all right? Had two instances at the end of the first regulation, at the end of the first overtime. All right, at the end of regulation, you had Celtics were up by 3. Yeah, they were up by 3, okay? You see Otto Porter gets the ball, literally like 3 seconds left as he's getting to the hole. Marcus Morris, instead of staying with the guy in the corner at the 3-point line, he goes in, well, it doesn't go in completely, but moves in to where Jody Meeks has enough room in the corner to stay open, like wide open. All right, so Otto Porter sees Marcus Morris coming in. Otto Porter dishes it out to Meeks, and Meeks hits the easy 3-pointer from the corner. All right, so that's one problem there. Then, at the end of the first overtime, you got Jason Tatum. I believe Celtics are down by 2. Drives in. Gets fouled by Gortat, I believe it was. Hits the shot. Free throw. Couple seconds left. Game's tied. All he has to do is hit this free throw. He hits it. It's over. He misses it. Washington, I think, throws it down the court. Tries to do, well, I think it was Oubre or someone. Tries to hit, do a little full court heave. Misses it. So, we go to a second overtime. And then just Boston couldn't pull it out. All right. And again, this isn't anything to go against Washington or anything like that. They played a good game, played well. But, I mean, it's encouraging for Boston, I guess, the fact that you had 4 starters out. Well, three starters, one solid player off the bench out, and you still hung around with the Wizards, okay? Yeah, the Wizards been without John Wall, but they've come to show us that they could play well without him, played even better without him. So either way, though, good win for the Wizards here. Celtics lost, so not great for them, but either way, it doesn't really matter. I mean, still up about six games on the Pacers for that two seed, about 4.5, I'm guessing, back on the by the Toronto Raptors. It's not really going to change much. Toronto's going to finish as the one seed this regular season. Celtics probably finish as the two. The only thing that's really going to change, I guess, is the Cavs, Pacers, and Wizards seeding as far as what's going on there. But either way, it was a fun game to watch, right? It was a nice little fun game. Got you going. It was exciting. So either way, Wizards won this one, 125-124. Good on them there. As for the next game, Milwaukee let me down, all right? Calling the yesterday on yesterday's show, calling the Magic a dumpster fire, saying 72 points was disgusting, no pride, and what do they do the next day? Score 126, all right? They beat the Bucks in Orlando 126-117. For Milwaukee, you had Giannis Antetokounmpo with 38 points, 7 assists, 10 rebounds, shot 16-29 there. Chris Middleton had 22 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 8-16. Eric Bledsoe, 20 points, 8 assists, shot 8-16, 3-7 from the 3-point line. Tony Snell only played 18 minutes, only took one shot, hit it, 2 points for him. Off the bench, we had Jabari Parker with 14 points, 4 rebounds, shot 6-10, 1-3 from the 3-point line. Brandon Jennings only 9 minutes played in this one after his near triple-double in his debut with the team this season. He had 2 points in that one. You had Shabazz Muhammad with 6 points, so not really too much bench production coming from the Bucks. As for the Magic, you had Jonathan Isaac, 18 minutes, 1-5 from the field, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Jonathan Simmons, 35 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Nice little pick-me-up game from the little bad game he had against the Spurs the other day, which was yesterday, I believe it was. Or the day before yesterday. Got confused there. But he shot 11-22. Nikolai Vucevic had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, shot 8-14. DJ Augustine, 32 points, 4 assists, shot 9-15, 6-9 from the 3-point line. Then off the bench, you had Shelvin Mack with 7 points and Bismack Biyombo. Getting paid, but not really doing too much. Only 2 points, 6 assists. Or actually, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, shot 1-2 there. I mean, Bucks got to win these games. You can't be losing games against the team that's trying to tank like the Magic. I mean, the team literally 2 days ago scored only 72 points against the Spurs, all right? And the Spurs just really been struggling all year. And for the Bucks to lose a game like this, it hurts, all right? If they want to, obviously they're going to be making the playoffs because the Pistons are a dumpster fire right after them. But either way, let me see what we got going on with Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee, the Heat lost yesterday too, so they're in the seventh spot right now. They'd be facing off with the Celtics if the first round ended. And I don't know, it's just Milwaukee. We're waiting for them to take that next step, but when are they going to? All right, so that's all my thoughts there. As for the next game, like I said, the Miami Heat lost, faced off with the Kings, lost to Sacramento in overtime. The Heat were down 16 points with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Nonetheless, brought it back. I mean, at one point, it looked like they were going to win, but De'Aaron Fox drove down the lane, got the game-winning floater as time expired. Barely got it off. So like I said, the Kings won 123-119 in overtime. For Miami, you had James Johnson with 18 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 7 of 11. Bam Adebayo, yet again, another start for him since Hassan Whiteside was out. Only shot 2 of 9, 6 points. Did have 16 rebounds, though. Goran Dragic with the big game, 33 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. Shot 11-21, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. Tyler Johnson, he had 14 points, 5 rebounds, shot 5 of 10, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line off the bench. Miami played pretty well. Kelly Olynyk, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 4 of 13, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Justice Winslow, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Wayne Ellington was on fire yesterday, 22 points, 7 of 19 shooting from the field, 6 of 17 from the 3-point line. As for the Kings, you had Zach Randolph with 22 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 9 of 16. Justin Jackson, 9 points in this one, shot 4 of 7. Willie Cauley-Stein, not the best shooting night from him, only 3 of 10, 10 points, 9 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox, like I said, had 20 points in this one, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 9 of 14 from the field, hit the game-tying floater at the end of regulation. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 14 points, 5 of 14 from the field, hit a dagger 3 in the towards the end of overtime, I believe it was. Hit a deep shot, too. It was like, I don't know, it was crazy far out. Then off the bench, you had Frank Mason with 11 points, 4 rebounds, shot 3 of 6, and Buddy Hield had 24 points, 6 rebounds, shot 9 of 16, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. Same thing with the Bucks. Miami's got to be winning these games. Yeah, you didn't have Dwayne Wade. Yeah, you didn't have Hassan Whiteside, but either way, you still have a better team than the Kings out here. And as far as seeding goes, I mean, you don't really want to be playing a team like Toronto, who's hot right now. And Miami does match up okay with Toronto, could give them a fit, but they're not going to get past. So you want to pretty much end up in that little 6th spot like Philly is in right now. Miami's only about a game and a half back on Philly for that 6th spot. They're a half game back of
Milwaukee for that seventh spot. So it's going to be interchangeable as the season goes on. But either way, I mean, nice little win for the Kings. Good to see these tanking teams, they pull out some wins and play competitively. So good on them there. Then for the final game of the night, we had the LA Lakers facing off with the Golden State Warriors. I said the Lakers were going to win. I was completely wrong. All right. Golden State won this one 117-106. For the Lakers, you have Julius Randle with 22 points, 10 rebounds, shot 8 of 10. Brooke Lopez, 20 points, 6 rebounds, shot 8 of 15, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Isaiah Thomas got the start in this one since Kyle Kuzma was out with a sprained ankle. He had 20 points, 7 assists, shot 6 of 14, 5 of 9 from the 3-point line. Dude's been playing extremely well with the Lakers since he's got there. Maybe that'll be his home in the future. Who knows? We'll see. As for Lonzo Ball, he's been on a bad little shooting streak lately the last couple of weeks. Shot 3 of 11, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. It's pretty much going back to how he was in the beginning of the season. Taking a lot of threes, not really getting to the hole enough. All right, he had 8 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. Like I said, shot 3 of 11, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope also didn't shoot the ball well. 4 of 13 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line, 13 points, 4 rebounds. And then off the bench, I mean, not too much going on there. You had Tyler Ennis with 12 points, shot 5 of 6. Derek Williams had 2 points in 8 minutes in this one. All right, Ivan Zubac only played 6 minutes, 0 points. And you had Alex Caruso with 21 minutes, had 4 points, 1 rebound, shot 2 of 2 there. So just like I said, not too much bunch production from the Lakers. As for the Warriors, all right, no Curry, no Draymond, no Klay, no problem. All right, Kevin Durant had 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 10 of 19, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line. Kevin Looney got the start in this one, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 25 minutes, shot 4 of 8. Zaza Pachulia, my least favorite player in the league, 23 minutes played in this one, got the start, 4 of 8 from the field, 10 points, 5 assists, 12 rebounds. Quinn Cook, who's been starting for Curry, 13 points, 2 rebounds, shot 5 of 11, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Nick Young had 18 points, 3 rebounds in his start, shot 6 of 13, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. And off the bench, I mean, you got solid bench production for Omeri Caspi and Sean Livingston. Caspi had 15 points, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 8, dude was on fire. Didn't take a 3 in this one, so nice high percentage shots from him. JaVale McGee played 13 minutes this week, had 2 points, 6 rebounds. And then Sean Livingston, like I said, had 13 points, 4 rebounds, shot 6 of 8 from the field, and played well in 20 minutes. It's a good little win by the Warriors, all right? Obviously, they were favored. Obviously, I was wrong as far as picking the Lakers. But nonetheless, I mean, you're out with Draymond Green. You're out with Klay Thompson. You're out with Curry. Kevin Durant's really the best player on this team with all those guys out there. Even then, so he's still the best team player on the team. But you got guys like Looney, Cook, Young starting. This is a win the Lakers should have got, all right? The Lakers should have won this game. You can't be losing games like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh, but should have probably put up a better fight. But nonetheless, struggled there. Alright, so that's it for yesterday's games. Like I said, the Wizards won, Heat lost, meaning the Kings won, and then you had the Magic beating the Bucks and the Warriors, business as usual. Alright, and they're probably going to be without Klay and Steph for a while, at least for the rest of this month. Then it's going to, I don't know, if the Warriors can play well without them, then good on them. But either way, I mean, let's see, how many games back are they of the Rockets right now in the West? They're currently a game and a half back. Don't think the Rockets are going to be giving up that one seed. They're 53-14. They were recently on a 17-game winning streak that got knocked off by Toronto. Golden State really just trying to stay healthy once the season gets there. You got Portland in the 3 seed. 10 games in a row they've won. All right. Let's see. 41-26. Oklahoma City's in the 4th spot right now. You got New Orleans, who's in the 5th spot. 2 games back of the Trailblazers. Spurs still outside on the outside looking in. Same with the Nuggets. You got the Clippers in 7 and the Utah Jazz in 8. So I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing it like that. Kind of want to see the Nuggets getting in over the Clippers. I like the Jazz the way they've been playing this season, so I'd like to see them in the playoffs too. But either way, that's how it is in the West. As far as the East goes, you got the Raptors in first, like I said. Boston is 4.5 games back of them in the 2 seed. You got the Pacers in the 3 seed, 6 games back of Boston for that 2 seed. Cleveland's in 4th. Washington in 5th, game back of Cleveland for that 4 spot. Philadelphia in 6th. And like I said, you got Milwaukee in 7th and Miami in 8th. So that's how the standings are looking like right now. Again, we got a bunch of games going on tonight, so that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Oakland Raiders, talking about the moves they've been making, and pretty much what I think of them. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked about Tiger Woods. Is he back? I think so. Guy's 100% healthy, and he's been playing well. Also, is the favorite to win the Masters, according to Vegas. And what Vegas says goes. So we talked about that. Talked about March Madness, all right? Talked about Oklahoma getting upset. Really just a waste of a space to put them in. And right now, I mean, as I'm recording this, I'm watching the Loyola Chicago-Miami game. And Loyola was only down by 2 points. Game should be over by the time we start that next segment. That could be another upset right there. So we'll see about it. Like, Loyola seems like everyone's been talking about. That might be one of those teams that kind of like how I view, I said St. Bonaventure. Kind of like that team I said it's going to be like the team that's upsetting everyone in this tournament. That might be Loyola Chicago, by the way. Everyone's been talking about them. So, yeah, right now they're up, or they're down by 2, 3 minutes left. So by the time we start this next segment, the fourth segment, game should be over. But either way, we've talked about that. Second segment, we talked about yesterday's NBA games, which was Wednesday's. All right. The Kings beat the Miami Heat in overtime. Wizards beat the Celtics in double overtime. Bucks lost to the Magic, and the Warriors knocked off the Lakers without Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, or Steph Curry. So nice little win by them there. For this segment, we're going to be talking about the Oakland Raiders. All right. The Raiders are, I guess, being active in free agency, making some moves, and I'm not really sure what I think of them. All right, the Raiders are a team that it's looking like they're going to be building through the draft as far as defense goes. Haven't really gone and gotten any defensive players in free agency, and I guess that's smart there. Usually you like to build your defense through the draft because usually when you put free agents out there and pretty much put out a team full of free agents on defense, it's not really going to work out. So maybe that's their plan there. But looking like they're going to be signing Jordy Nelson to a 2-year deal. They signed Doug Martin, and looks like they're going to be cutting Michael Crabtree. All right. And where should we start off with this? Let's start off with Doug Martin, all right? Doug Martin with Tampa Bay started off his career hot, played well, running for a bunch of yards, scoring touchdowns, and the last few years has pretty much digressed as each year has passed. All right, the yards have gone down, carries have gone down, just pretty much hasn't played that well. So you're bringing him in, and had me thinking, so does that mean this is the end of Marshawn Lynch? Turns out, no. Like Michael Silver reported that Marshawn Lynch is safe. It's pretty much they want to go with a 1-2 type duo in Oakland. And that's pretty much how all teams are doing the running backs now. All right. You got it in Atlanta, New Orleans. Who else does it? I don't know. I can't think of. New England goes through about 4 different running backs in a season. All right. Let's see. Miami likes to go with 2 different running backs. You got teams like who else? The Broncos did this season with Booker and Anderson. A bunch of other teams do it, all right? So maybe that's their plan right there, and if it is, I'm fine with it, I guess. Like I said, just don't really like Doug Martin, the player, right now. Maybe he could turn it around behind that Oakland Raiders offensive line, but that offensive line seemed to take a step back last season, so they got to figure it out there. But as far as it all goes, I mean, you can't have too much talent on one team, all right? You can't. So bringing in Doug Martin, maybe he could fix it up. And with Marshawn Lynch, I really hope they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch a whole lot more than they did last season, all right? I feel like Jack Del Rio was trying to run one type of offense, and that's an offense that Marshawn Lynch didn't really fit into, all right? But towards the end of the year, you saw Marshawn starting to get the ball a whole lot more, and I felt like he got better and that team got better as a whole, not as a whole, but just on offense, because that defense was just pure, absolute trash that entire season. But yeah, I just hope they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch a whole lot more. And it seems like John Gruden's building the team to the point where they're going to be a smash-mouth-type football team, all right? They're going to be running the ball over the place. John Gruden's already signed a fullback to a 4-year deal, or a $4 million deal, I should say. All right, signed 2 blocking tight ends, I believe it was. So it's looking like when John Gruden said at his press conference, he's trying to take it back to 1998. The guy actually is. And that's one thing, too, I'm kind of nervous about. All right, how do we know, what I'm trying to ask or say is that we've seen coaches time and time again, old school coaches who try and stick to what they've known and don't really try to adapt to what's going on. All right. And it never really works out. And I'm hoping with the Raiders here, maybe John Gruden realizes that, yeah, you can go and try to do some of the old stuff, but eventually you do need to implement some of the new stuff. All right. You can't just stick to old school type of football. It just won't work. All right. You got to pretty much, like they say, NFL is a league full of parity. You need to be like everyone else and do what everyone else is doing. Otherwise, the game's going to pass you up and you're going to stink. I kind of think you saw that with Chicago this past season. All right.
refused to throw the ball when Mitch Trubisky is out there. That's why you see John Fox getting fired. And John Fox probably won't be with the team going forward after that. I mean, I just like the older version of coaches, the Jeff Fishers, the John Foxes, okay? Those guys out, no jobs. Probably won't be getting jobs ever again as far as NFL head coaches. So I hope John Gruden truly knows what he's doing. I mean, he does have time to. He got a 10-year, $100 million contract. It's not like he's going to be bad for a year or two and Mark Davis is going to fire him. No, John Gruden probably has at least 3-4 years before, I guess you could say, they're going to think about getting rid of him. And even that's like the minimum right there. It could be five, 6 years. The dude has 10 years on his deal. I'm not sure. If I had to put money on, I say that John Gruden really just does not play out the rest of his contract. It just, you just don't see that unless the Raiders turn into this great, amazing team. So it's going to be interesting to see there. But like I said, you just don't really see it. But either way, so yeah, they signed Doug Martin. Looking like they're going to have like a little 1-2 duo of Lynch and Martin. Kind of like a change of pace. I mean, Lynch is more a get-in-your-face, run-at-you type player. Martin's more of a quick, versatile type running back, right? He's not like a Kamara or anything like that, but he's a whole lot quicker than Lynch, at least I feel. So it could work. So then you got that. Like I said, they signed the fullback, signed 2 blocking tight ends, I believe it was. And now they're looking to sign... Well, they are signing Jordy Nelson to a two-year deal, it looks like. And I don't like it. I don't like signing Jordy Nelson. All right. Jordy Nelson, I think he's 33 years old. And I guess what we're seeing with the Raiders is that they're going to be running, like I said, a smash mouth offense, going to be running the ball a lot. Not really going to be throwing it down the field too much, I don't think. All right. I think they're going to be a safe type offense for Derek Carr. The only way they'll go downfield is if Amari Cooper's down there. And even then, so, I mean, I don't think they'll be doing that too much. Bringing in a guy like Jordy Nelson, I mean, him and Michael Crabtree are basically the same type of receiver. Both possession receivers aren't going to go deep or anything like that. More so guys you look for on third down, running the short routes, all that stuff, all right? And unless Gruden thinks... I don't get that. I don't get why you bring in Nelson and cut Crabtree unless Crabtree was just a locker room distraction last year and just bad for the locker room as a whole. All right, Crabtree is without a doubt better than... Nelson, it's not close. Nelson at one point, yes, had a... Like, Nelson overall, all-time, is a better receiver than Crabtree, I guess you could say. But, I mean, the last couple of years, he's taken a step back. Didn't really do much this year. Yeah, he was playing with Brett Hundley as his quarterback for most of the season. But even then, so before then, he wasn't really doing too much. And, I mean, if you're a possession receiver guy who doesn't really run vertical routes, that should have helped Brett Hundley a bit. But, no, he was looking for Davante Adams a whole bunch. So, I just don't like Jordy Nelson now. All right? 5 years ago, yeah, give me Jordy Nelson on the Raiders. It'll work. But now, so, it's more so the guy's just old. And I just, like I said, I just don't see it really working out. And I don't see why you get rid of a Crabtree when he's younger and better at this point in time. All right? Crabtree was a huge red zone threat. Huge red zone, just successful in the red zone for the Raiders last season. All right, remember that Chiefs game where they went to him like 3 different times? Third time it worked out, all right, because of all those penalties before that. But either way, it worked out well. And Crabtree, he started off the year hot, and then the Raiders just completely fell off. So, I mean, like I said, I understand what they're maybe just trying to clean up the locker room a bit, but I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like bringing in Nelson for Crabtree. All right, Crabtree, like I said, is a whole lot better than Nelson is right now. And that's all, like, just as anywhere Nelson would have went, even if he would have ended up with the Patriots, I wouldn't have liked Nelson there, all right? I just think he's past his prime. I don't think he has much left. I mean, you're signing Nelson for 2 years. Who even knows if he's going to be around next year just because of the fact that if he doesn't produce this year, then you give him the boot. Whereas Crabtree, you know Crabtree and Carr, you could tell, had something, all right? Meaning, Phil's third down, you know Carr's going to Crabtree because that's what he trusts the most. All right. Mark Cooper, not so much because the dude couldn't catch the ball to save his life. And Crabtree did have his fair share of drops, but it wasn't like Mark Cooper was just a huge problem. But either way, I mean, the Raiders obviously have their type of plan, and it seems more they're going towards old school football. And like I said, I mean, that just doesn't really work in this day and age. You need to air the ball out. You need to build up the defense, which they don't even have right now. They have no defense whatsoever. You're going to have to go with a Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds or go for one of the corners, Josh Jackson and Denzel Ward in the draft. And you're going to have a lot to do, but I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm just real curious, kind of confused on what it is Oakland is trying to do, right? Jordy Nelson, that's not so much a rebuild type move. That's more of a, I guess, win now move. Like I said, I just don't trust Nelson going forward. So, I mean, you got that going on there. And like I said, it's just a matter of, we got to wait and see what happens in the draft for the Raiders. But Gruden has his idea of what he wants his team to be. It's looking like I said, I mean, with Doug Martin and Marshawn Lynch, they're going to be running the ball a whole lot more. They got their fullback ready. And I'm really curious to see what his plan is for Carr, how he's going to make him play better than last year. Obviously, Carr is going to be healthier than he was last year after fracturing his back and coming back after only a week miss. So, I don't know. Just interesting to see what the Raiders got going on. And in that division, I mean, they're not even... I wouldn't even say the third best team in that division, or even like, I don't know. It's kind of curious. Right now, the Chargers are the best team in the division, and that's not up for debate. It's not close. All right, the Chargers by far have the best team, all around team in that division. Then you got the Broncos, who have a solid defense. Yes, I know they struggled last year, but there's other reasons as to why they did. All right, you got Demaryius Thomas too, who can produce. CJ Anderson was looking like he's going to be back now. And you got your quarterback in Case Keenum. Case Keenum plays well, then the Denver is the second best team in that division. Right now, the Raiders are kind of on par with the Chiefs. And, I mean, the Chiefs do have a better team. All right, the Raiders are probably the worst team in that division. I'm not saying like the Raiders are a bad team by any means. It's just not as good as the other three teams in that division. With the Chiefs, you got Mahomes, who, I mean, the Chiefs are really banking on being their future quarterback. If he plays well, then the Chiefs aren't going to miss a step, right? If Mahomes comes out throwing the ball, completing it, throwing touchdowns, downfield, all that, the Chiefs aren't missing a step. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Sammy Watkins, who I'm not too high on, but nonetheless could be a good receiver for that team. Kareem Hunt coming off of a big year. You still got Travis Kelce. All right, and it's pretty much the only thing that worries me about the Chiefs is the defense, but the defense isn't nearly as bad as Oakland's, and the offense is miles better than Oakland's right now. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that division plays out. Like I said, I like the Chargers a whole bunch, like the Broncos, Chiefs, and Raiders. It's more so wait-and-see type thing going on there. So I just wanted to spend this segment talking about the Raiders. Next up, we're going to be talking about Miami, talking about the moves they're making. Been kind of confusing this offseason so far, but nonetheless, we'll see what they got going on. Signed Amendola, signed Wilson, and signed Josh Sitton today. We'll be talking about that. Traded for Kilgore from the center from San Francisco after cutting Mike Pouncey, so we'll be talking about that too. And we'll be talking about what else we got going on. I think we got some March Madness games that are going to be ending. Pretty much talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, and we'll be making my picks for tonight's game. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the final segment of the GSMC Sports Podcast. Loyola's game with Miami just finished off, and of course, March Madness gives us all the buzzer beaters we want. All right, let's see. Loyola won 64-62. All right, hit the game-winning three at the end. And of course, like I said, Miami loses. So, it's March. It's crazy. It's all over the place. All right, right now we get the Ohio State, and I think they're playing South Dakota State right now. I'm watching that game as I'm doing this, so maybe that'll end by the time we get the podcast, by the time we reach the end of this segment. But either way, March Madness, by far, the funnest tournament to watch. World Cup, I guess, as far as tournaments, but you get what I'm talking about. It's March. I'm going to act like March Madness is the best, all right? And it is the, is it the March Madness tournament or the NCAA tournament, all right? I think it's NCAA. I'm going to be that guy. But either way, like I said, March Madness is the best. All right. Got a bunch of games going on later tonight, too. This probably isn't going to be the first upset. We already had, we had Oklahoma losing to Rhode Island. That's not an upset, right? That's not. There's no way that's an upset. So I'm not calling that an upset. What else do we have? I think that's it. Just the Loyola beating Miami. And again, I'm not calling the Oklahoma game an upset. Oklahoma had no business being in the tournament. It is what it is. All right. So here we are. Fourth segment. Miami loses. All right. But the other team, Miami, the Dolphins, we're going to talk about them. All right. So let's get into it right now. They've gotten rid of Landry. They've gotten rid of Sue. They've gotten rid of Pouncey. They traded J.J. midseason last year. They've been getting rid of a lot of good players for that team, all right? And it's looking like Adam Gase is behind all these moves. Adam Gase is butted heads with Jarvis Landry. Adam Gase is butted heads with J.J. Not so much Pouncey and Sue, but nonetheless, I think Miami, this whole little quote-unquote culture change they're trying to go through, I think they're actually trying to do a culture change, all right? With that, I mean, you got Landry, who's a hothead. Dude had way too many unsportsmanlike penalty play calls, but either way, I mean, was a big part of that offense. Sue, a lot of offsides calls, was the best player on this team by far, but nonetheless, they're gone. So what is Miami doing? I mean, they cut Pouncey today, and literally no more than a half hour later, I feel, they go and trade for Kilgore, the center out of San Francisco, to fill up that hole. They signed Josh Sitton today. This is the first time in years Miami's actually addressed problems on the offensive line. Ryan Tannehill might actually have time to drop back and actually be a quarterback instead of pretty much turning into a Michael Vick type where you got to run all over the place. All right, Tannehill, he's been the type of quarterback where it's this is this year. Oh, okay, no, it's next year. No, he's going to break out this year, and it just hasn't happened. This has got to be his last year, all right, if he doesn't play well. But either way, like I said, Miami got Sitton, got Kilgore. Offensive line looks better than it did last year. And with Pouncey, I mean, you got people saying, like, why are you cutting him? The guy's hip is ready to fall off his body, I feel. The dude has been injured year after year. Too many holding calls all year. I mean, it's more so you're paying money for a dude who's injured all the time and can't really keep himself disciplined. All right? As far as Sue goes, I mean, that contract from the start was bad. Okay? And it just really wasn't ever going to work out. And that's one thing, too. Like I said earlier, Miami is starting to learn from their mistakes. All right? From the Mike Wallace contracts to the Sue's contract. I mean, it just never really worked out for them, right? Those were win-now moves, but, I mean, winning the offseason has never really worked out for any team in the history of the NFL. All right, point back to the team in Philly where you had Vince Young calling them the dream team. Well, they got Nnamdi Asamoah, signed Vince Young to be the backup. Michael Vick was the starter there. And had a bunch of other solid players on that team. Didn't work out. Why? Because, I mean, you can't bring in too many big-name, egotistical-type players. All right, and with Miami, they're starting. They cut Landry. They signed Amendola and Albert Wilson in free agency. But the difference is, Miami's not signing those big money free agents. They're bringing in guys who can fit in. All right, Miami's always been that team where you don't know if they're rebuilding. You don't know if they're trying to win now because of what they're doing. And it looks like now they're trying to win, but they're doing it the right way. They're doing it like the Philadelphia Eagles way. I'm not saying Miami's gonna go out and win the Super Bowl. I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs this year. But they're bringing in guys who do a job. You're not going to have too many big-name players on that team, but you're going to have guys who are solid at their position. That's where you got to Sitton and Kilgore playing center there. All right, that's where you got Amendola and Wilson in the slot. And I'm curious to see what they got going on at the wide receiver position too, because you got Parker, you got Grant, Wilson, Amendola, and Stills. That's five receivers. All right, I'm not sure if they're going to be trying to trade Parker or if they're just going to go ahead and say, here you go, Tannehill, you got all these weapons here. You got Kenyon Drake, who was a real solid running back for that team. All right, this past season, the running game got even better once Ajayi got traded. Now they got to fix up the defense, all right? You got to fix up the linebacker position, and you got to fix up the... Yet maybe, I don't know if they're going to try and address the gap that Sue is leaving, because you had Von Godshaw, Jordan Phillips, two young guys. You got Vincent Taylor, who has spent most of the year on the team, but really, didn't really play much, but showed flashes. I mean, they're good young players, but they're just not as dominant as Sue, so maybe they're just going to say, you know what, we're going to give them the reins, let them go out and do what they can do, because you still got Charles Harris, Cameron Wake, Robert Quinn, Andre Branch on the outside who could play well. Linebackers, you got Kiko Alonso, you got Raekwon McMillan coming to be the starter this year. Blew out his knee last year on a special teams playing preseason. You got the secondaries already sharpened up. You got Cordrea Tankersley, Xavier Howard, Tony Lippitt, Bobby McCain in the nickel. Then you got TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones. So, I mean, Miami does have not a big name team, but they have players who have played well at their certain positions. So, I mean, maybe that's the way they're trying to win there. Pretty much, like I said, just trying to build a team, not a big name team or anything like that. Just put guys in there that know how to do a certain job. Kind of like what the Patriots do. The Patriots don't sign big name free agents. They sign guys who were kind of mid-level and put them in the position to succeed. So that's what they got going on there. So real curious to see how it all ends up. Like I said, Miami, I mean, they've gone since Marino retired with being a bad team, not really having any sense of direction. So maybe this is the year that all changes, looking like Adam Gase is starting to finally build his team. So we'll see what they got going on there. But that's all I wanted to really mention about Miami. Going to be interesting to see. So like I said, we'll see about it, see how well it all goes. But now let's make my picks for tonight's NBA games. Got a bunch of good games going on tonight. Let's see, what do we got going on? I think we got the Pacers facing off with the Raptors. We got Hornets, Hawks. We got 76ers, Knicks, Clippers, Rockets. No Capella in that game. We got Bulls, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Spurs, Pistons, Nuggets, Suns, Jazz, Cavs, Trailblazers. That's going to be a fun one right there. So let's make my picks for tonight's games. All right, let's see. We got for the Raptors and Pacers game, I'm going to go with Toronto. They've been on a hot streak, playing really well. Pacers have also been playing well. But nonetheless, I'm going with Toronto on this one, all right? They're the best team in the East by far. Doesn't really come close. So, yeah, like I said, I got Toronto. Then we got the Hornets facing off with the Hawks. Both bad teams. Hawks are just as bad, I guess you could say. So I'm going to go with the Hornets. Think Kemba Walker is going to play well. And I think Dwight Howard is going to go for about at least 13 rebounds in this one. So I'm going to go with the Hornets. Then we got the 76ers facing off with the New York Knicks. Knicks are a terrible team. They're trying to lose games so they can move into that top five spot in the lottery, hopefully, with all the losses they got. So I'm going to go with the Sixers in this one. They need to pull out the win here and play well, especially to keep that sixth spot in the East. Then we got the Clippers facing off with the Rockets. No Clint Capella. Doesn't matter, though. Rockets are going to win this one. Clippers might very well fall out of that seventh spot if they end up losing this one, and the Jazz and Spurs end up winning. You get the Nuggets playing tonight, too, so it's going to be a real big game for all those teams. But either way, I got the Rockets beating the Clippers in Houston. Then we got the Bulls facing off with the Grizzlies. The way I make these picks, I mean, you got to go with the team with the best players, even though they're both trying to tank. Memphis is actually favored by a point in this one at home. Either way, though, I'm going with the Bulls. Grizzlies, they're just that bad. So I'm going to go with the Bulls in this one. Then we got the Pelicans facing off with the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard's not playing in this one. The Spurs are favored by 4.5, so I'm not really sure why Vegas has that, but this is a pretty easy pick to me. I got the Pelicans winning this one. I really don't know why the Spurs are favored by that much, at least. But either way, I got the Pelicans. Then we got the Pistons facing off with the Nuggets. Pistons are a terrible road team. Nuggets are a good home team. I'm going with Denver. I think they're going to be able to pull out the win here. Pistons are just a bad team all around. Doesn't even matter home or away. And we got the Suns facing off with the Jazz. Jazz are favored by 14 points in this one. It's like a Warriors-type game right here. Warriors are always favored by double digits. So I'm going with the Jazz in this one. No doubts about it. I'm going to get every pick right tonight. We're going to be talking about it tomorrow. I'm calling my shot right now. I'm getting every single pick right. And then we got the Cavaliers facing off with the Trailblazers. All right, I'm going to go with the... This is the pick right here. This is the pick where I can get it wrong or I can get it right. Meaning, I mean, it could go either way. Not really sure. Portland's favored by 5.5. Cleveland has LeBron James. Who do I go with in this one? I go with... This is tough. Portland's on a 10-game winning streak. But Cleveland just seems like... I'm going to go with the Cavs. Think they're going to be able to pull it out. I'm really not confident in that pick at all, but I'm going with Cleveland, all right? So that's an upset pick there. Let's recap my picks. I got the Raptors beating the Pacers, Hornets beating the Hawks, Sixers beating the Knicks, Rockets beating the Clippers, Bulls beating the Grizzlies, Pelicans beating the Spurs, Nuggets beating the Pistons, Jazz beating the Suns, and the Cavs beating the Trailblazers. Three upset picks tonight. Cavs over the Trailblazers, Pelicans over the Spurs, and Bulls over the Grizzlies. I really think I'm going to be able to get all these right. It's going to come down to that Cavs and Trailblazers game, and I'm probably going to get a couple other ones wrong, but I'm going to bank on myself getting them all right. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Today we talked about Tiger Woods, March Madness a bit, talked about the Raiders, yesterday's NBA games, the Miami Dolphins, and we talked about tonight's NBA games, meaning we made my picks for those. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back tomorrow as we always are, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can
can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.